Last week, in a special International Women's Day Tynwald sitting, students from the island's secondary schools and UCM raised several issues that are important to them and really should be important to us all. The students' voices were very powerful and the evidence presented quite shocking. We'll hear two of the debates on gaps in women's healthcare and period poverty on Perspective this week, and the other three debates on a future show. We'll hear later from the UCM students and their period poverty debate, but first I spoke to the students moving and supporting the debate on gaps in women's healthcare.
I'm Keir Trustram from Castle Rushen High School.
Lizzie Barker, also from Castle Rushen High School.
Imogen Graham, also from Castle Rushen High School.
And Katie Norton, also from Castle Rushen High School.
And you've got a piece of paper in your head, so yeah. I'm guessing you're the mover of this. You've got notes, but well, we'll start with the mover.
Okay.
What is the motion about?
Our motion is about the under research of women's healthcare and stuff like endometriosis and PCOS and how it's overlooked in the healthcare system and just simply not researched, like in history and everything. Even now, it's just overlooked.
And what's the reason for that?
I think the reason for it is that there's just a lack of education and awareness about it, which can be prevented through definitely introducing it early on in education, in schools, so people are more aware about it.
And you've got extensive notes there, so I expect a long answer. How much research have you had to do?
Worldwide, there's been a significant proof towards how millions and millions of women do not have any knowledge on their own reproductive and menstrual health. And it's been proven that 1.5 million biological women who suffer with endometriosis in the UK are untreated and have no diagnosis. And then with more research towards things like endometriosis, then more women can get their diagnosis. And it's been also proven that with women who have endometriosis, they've not been able to have any help from professionals on how to cope with it. So many women worldwide have actually taken their own lives for it. And so with more education, more treatment, more clinical trials, then that number of women's suicide will decrease.
And endometriosis, what is that?
It's basically like scarring on the outside of your reproductive organs, which can cause pain, meaning it affects women's everyday life. Like, they can't work properly because they're in so much pain. And it's often overlooked by workplaces.
And in terms of all this, I mean, are you scandalised by the fact that this doesn't seem to be taken as seriously as it should be?
Yeah, we feel like it's an issue not just here, it's an issue globally, it's everywhere. It's completely overlooked, under-researched. Historically, women weren't even tested on, so they weren't even aware of this condition until about maybe 70 years ago. So we feel like it's an issue for all women, not just those directly affected by it.
How did you feel when you started doing this research? I mean, what were your thoughts about the situation is?
When I first started doing research, I was actually really shocked that this is so heavily overlooked and just like brushed under the carpet. So I think definitely raising awareness will make a big difference.
And what are you hoping for out of the debate this afternoon?
Hopefully the government will see, and hopefully there'll be more awareness that women deserve more funding and more clinical trials towards their own bodily health. And then with these further researches on women's health, then hopefully there'll be more cures and treatments implicated into healthcare systems so women can understand their own bodies and men can understand their own bodies more by seeing all of the research that has been done but just has not been presented.
You'll be speaking in the Tynwald Chamber today. There's a an election coming up in September. Are you hoping that at least some of the people who will be standing for the keys will take note of what you've been saying in Tynwald today?
Yes, definitely. I hope so. So that there can be some changes made on the island to the healthcare system for women. And also in the workplace, it's like helping women in the workplace because it affects them there as well.
Well, thank you all for taking part and being prepared to speak to Manx Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Those were students from Castle Rushen High School. Let's hear now their debate with Acting President of Tynwald, Anne Corlett, steering proceedings.
Item 4 on our order paper, gaps in women's healthcare. And I call on the Honourable Member for Arbury, Castletown and Maloof, Miss Norton, to move.
Our motion claims that there are many systematic failures in providing women's healthcare, leading to the neglect of conditions that only affect women. Women's health discrimination is a global crisis, driven by structural inequalities historically and within the healthcare system. In the UK, 60% of women believe their health issues are not taken seriously. This results in 150 million working days being lost each year due to women's poor health and lack of support for it. Additionally, 4 in 10, or 42% of women, have heard derogatory comments about female employees' health in the workplace. Furthermore, only 2% of public research funding is dedicated to the reproductive health and childbirth. An example of this medical misogyny is that erectile dysfunction, which affects 19% of men, is studied and researched 5 times more often than PMS, which affects 90% of women. We do not argue that individual doctors are individually being hostile or malicious towards female patients, but rather that the healthcare system itself is structurally designed in ways that hinder women. Throughout history, women have been excluded from clinical trials due to risk of harming future pregnancies. This was most notably documented in the thalidomide tragedy of the late 50s. Thalidomide was a drug used to cure morning sickness in pregnant women. However, the use of this drug resulted in severe birth defects and the death of thousands of infants. This led to the FDA issuing guidelines that banned pregnant women from participating in phase 1 and 2 clinical trials. This law was only disregarded in the late 1990s, specifically after the 1993 Revitalization Act passed by US Congress, thus meaning that for decades, women and their anatomy around the world had not been efficiently studied or acknowledged. After this was established, it became clear that certain drugs and procedures react differently to women's anatomy compared to men's, such as aspirin and zolpidem. Additionally, women with metal hip replacements are 29% more likely than men to experience implant failure simply due to inadequate testing. Other reasons for males being preferred in research include concerns that physiological changes with the menstrual cycle makes females almost too complex to study. The Caucasian male body is the default norm. People even less likely to be included in research as participants are women of ethnic minorities, women with disabilities, and lesbian and bisexual women. We argue that this cause needs more research in order for the development and change of clinical guidelines and treatments. We would also hope that more inclusive guidelines would optimize patient care for women. Ideally, this would highlight conditions which exclusively affect women around the world and in the Isle of Man, such as endometriosis and polycystic ovarian syndrome. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I beg to move.
I now call on the Honourable Member for Arbury, Castletown and Maloof, Ms. Tristram.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Endometriosis and PCOS affect 1 in 10 women, which totals to 2 million women worldwide. However, while the conditions are this common, diagnosis can still take up to 10 years, and many women say to have seen multiple doctors before being believed that their pain is not just normal period pain. Endometriosis is a condition which causes tissue similar to the lining of the uterus to grow on the outside of the uterus, ovaries, and other pelvic tissue. Some symptoms caused by this include severe pain, organ damage, infertility, and reduced mobility and ability to work. All of these can have major impact on a woman's everyday life. Currently, there are only a few treatments, such as pain management with painkillers or taking contraceptive pill, which has many side effects for the consumer. Additionally, there is the option of surgery to remove the affected tissue
or in some extreme cases, remove the affected organ, which can result in a woman losing her ovaries. PCOS is another common hormonal disorder affecting 10 to 13% of women. The condition involves high androgen levels, irregular periods, and cysts on the ovaries. PCOS has symptoms involving excessive hair growth, weight gain, and infertility. Having PCOS can also lead to other illnesses such as type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular issues, and poor mental health. There is a severe lack of research that has been done on this condition, with no cause or cure that has been found, while 10% of women struggle with the disorder. The only available treatment for a woman with PCOS is lifestyle change or medication to regulate the insulin levels. Both of these conditions are very common, but they are severely overlooked by the healthcare system, as well as many workplaces. However, Spain recently became the first European country to introduce paid leave for those with severe cramps and other chronic illnesses involving periods. The law involves 3 to 5 days paid off work per month for those who are unable to work due to their period. This shows that changes can be made to help spread awareness of those often debilitating chronic conditions and can hopefully improve the lives of those affected. I'd like to second. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Call on the Honourable Member for Erin Michael, Ms Barker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My argument is built off of how healthcare systems are structurally designed in ways that disadvantage women. As my Honourable Members say, repeatedly, this is capitalised through the ignorance of chronic conditions and undertreatment of menstrual conditions and things like perimenopause, which is another example of the damaging structure of healthcare systems being a disadvantage to women. Research into perimenopause has suffered significant neglect, resulting in a substantial gap in medical knowledge, clinical care, and patient education. The stage is extremely misunderstood as it challenges quality of life, mental health, physical health, and during this time, women experience mood swings, brain fog, insomnia, and more, which is becoming increasingly more difficult for women to manage worldwide. There is an evident education gap in perimenopause that creates insufficient medical training and limited patient understanding. My personal belief is that this is a misconception of natural aging and a tendency to view perimenopause that is a natural part of aging and leads to a dismissal of the suffering women that have to cope with this. Unfortunately, this behaviour towards perimenopause leads to a dismissal and can lead to research of long-term effects that should be changed in healthcare to not be prioritised, and research on women's menstrual and reproductive health to be ignored. An online survey by Harper et al. From 2022 shows that 90% of women have never been taught about menopause or perimenopause in school, and a further 60% have not been informed about menopause at all. This ultimately demonstrates the educational gap and research on reproductive health that only began more in the 1990s. This immense lack of awareness and research by medical professionals, or arguably so more the government, not including menstrual and reproductive health into educational systems enough, is extremely damaging to women's healthcare. Not only do women individually not have access to knowledge of their own bodies, but healthcare systems and professionals are not working hard enough to provide said knowledge to the women. These professionals should be able to provide support to minimise suffering over phases of life that women cannot control. Thank you, Chairman.
I now call on the Honourable Member for Rushen, Ms Luda.
Thank you, Madam Acting President. The systemic failure in women's healthcare is not only financial but also cultural. Menstruation is often treated as a taboo subject or dismissed as simply part of being a woman, which means serious medical symptoms are frequently normalised rather than investigated. As a result, many conditions are diagnosed far later than they should be, limiting the amount of clinical data available and reducing research investment into female-specific conditions. As in agreement with the mover, for example, endometriosis affects around 1 in 10 women, yet it often takes many years to receive a diagnosis. Similarly, polycystic ovary syndrome affects roughly 10 to 13% of the female population, but it's frequently overlooked or misattributed to routine hormonal changes. This creates a systemic cycle in which women's pain is dismissed, under-researched, and ultimately under-treated. The consequences, extend far beyond delayed medical treatment. When women reportedly feel that their pain is being dismissed, it can also contribute to feelings of isolation, anxiety, and a loss of trust in the healthcare system. Being told that symptoms are normal may lead women to question their own experiences or feel that they are exaggerating their pain. This creates a situation where men's worries and needs are seemingly prioritised over theirs. When symptoms are normalised rather than properly investigated, the impact reaches beyond healthcare, affecting girls' education, women's career opportunities, and their mental well-being, reinforcing a wider gender inequality in society. It is for this reason that I also believe that professionals and women should be educated in more depth about the issues that they may face, so that when we do face them, we can realise when something's wrong and seek the help necessary. I believe that in this day and age, these conditions and many more should be considered when diagnosing women with medical conditions. Thank you.
Well, on the Honourable Member for Erin Michael. Ms Graham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Research has shown that women wait longer in emergency rooms for pain medication and are more likely to have their physical symptoms attributed to either anxiety or stress compared to men. Many drugs on the market today were tested primarily on men, leading to higher rates of adverse drug reactions in women. We need gender-specific medicine. Heart attack symptoms present differently in women, leading to higher mortality rates because the standard signs are based on male reactions. Conditions that primarily affect women, like endometriosis, are notoriously underfunded and take an average of 7 to 10 years to be properly diagnosed. Healthcare isn't equitable if the default patient in medical textbooks is still a male. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Now call on the Honourable Member for Council, Ms Fernley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'd like to extend this point to women in senior roles within healthcare. So women make up a large percentage of healthcare workers, but they are not really seen in senior roles, and this is even worse with women of colour. And I think if more women were considered for these senior roles, then we may see an improvement in the healthcare and a bigger push for research in these kind of women's specific health problems. We'd see a bigger push in the research and maybe more consideration and just better healthcare related to them. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Now call on the Honourable Member for Council, Ms Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would also like to forward this motion. I agree with all the points that have been made. I would also just like to look at the aspect of pap smear tests, which is something that is offered to women once they get to the age of 21. And there's a procedure to check for abnormal cells in ovaries, but it's a very invasive test and it's very uncomfortable for a lot of people, and a lot of women who have experienced sexual violence have spoken about how uncomfortable it makes them feel. And I think it's really important that more research goes into finding better ways to look at these kinds of things and check for these cells, because there's lots of men's there's lots of diseases that are very prevalent in men, that have lots of research has gone into them, and there's lots of advancement in them, but for these particular tests, and it's really difficult with this type of test because it's something that is almost needed to check for these things. And so I would also just agree with the points that have been made, that more money needs to go into advancing women's healthcare and in a lot of diseases that are prevalent in women. Thank you, Madam Chair.
On the Honourable Member for Council, Ms Maddox.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to agree with the mover about the comments made on endometriosis. According to Nature, Endometriosis affects approximately 190 million women worldwide, yet diagnosis is delayed by 7 to 9 years, which I think is a considerably long time to suffer with a disease that you aren't getting any medication or care for, because of course you can only get the care for it once you've been diagnosed with it. And I would also like to bring up how women of ethnic minorities are often ignored, and women in general are seen as hysterical or too emotional. There's obviously this big stereotype that men can deal with pain, and when they go to the doctor, it's, oh, there must be something wrong. But if a woman's doing it, oh, she's on a period, she's just being a bit dramatic. So I just think that that's important. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'm the Honourable Member for Ramsey, Musgrove.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm also in favour of this motion, as through my research I found that there are over 70,000 studies into male pattern baldness compared to endometriosis studies, which currently in peer review there's about 1,000 studies going through. And some of these studies include research into how endometriosis affects intimate male partners, looking into how it affects their pleasure in a physical relationship. This is another example of how women's health is being overlooked. Researching how a man's pleasure in an intimate relationship changes with a partner with endometriosis is not helping to find treatment for such lifelong, chronic, and painful conditions. Furthermore, it's uplifting a misogynistic idea that a man's pleasure is the reason for intimacy and objectifies women, all influencing my support for this motion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Now call on the Honourable Member for Douglas East, Ms. Pearson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to address the education system when it comes to menstrual issues. I feel that there is a lot of grey area in the way that it's taught. It's very black or white. There's not much exploration into different symptoms and how they can present in people, particularly if you're experiencing more niche problems that isn't it's not taught to you what to look for, essentially. A big thing, I personally struggled with period pains, and I had no clue what was going on. And it was incredibly stressful, and I did feel that the education that was provided to me wasn't outlining how I felt, and it was increasing this fear of not knowing what was going on with my body. And as teenage girls, I'm sure most of us can agree, there's enough issues going on there without having to deal with these pretty much unexplainable pains and things that are happening. I feel like more emphasis needs to be put on it in the education. We hear a lot about sex ed and how pleasure, stuff like that, as previously mentioned, but it doesn't feel to me like women's issues get enough attention. And while things like period pads and tampons are provided, it's not shown the range of what you might need. For example, when we were given pads out, they were really small, and there was no exploration into, oh, well, you might need this instead. There wasn't much variation in what was delivered. And as previously mentioned by other speakers, there was no mention of menopause. There was no mention of anything after what we would experience in teens. There's no mention of the symptoms of depression and how often stuff like being this depressive mood that takes over, it's often just summed up as, oh, it's a girl thing. It's not acknowledged to an ability that I feel it can be. In general, I just feel that the education system lets women down in that sense. There just isn't enough to go with, and it causes a lot of fear. And that is the last thing you want when you're going through all these changes. I also feel that there is a lack of this experience taught to men as well. Obviously, this is about women, but I feel that men aren't taught to the same level, so then they get their information from other sources, which may be less accurate, which then brings in the, oh, this woman's just being hysterical, she's on her period, when there could be so many other factors. So I feel like if we are going to be taught these things about periods, men should be involved too, even if they think, oh, it's fine. It's not. They need to be involved in these conversations, and I feel that if they're not, you're alienating a whole group of people who need to understand, because there's a clear gap in understanding between men and women, because obviously one experiences it, one doesn't, but it doesn't feel fair in that standard. So for all those reasons, hopefully I do. I've got my point across. I second this motion.
I call on the Honourable Member for Onchan, Ms. Divers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have to say I completely agree with your motion. I think I vividly remember being in primary school, and I must have been in year six, and all the girls were taken into a classroom. Boys weren't told about it, and we were taught about periods. But again, I think there is a stigma that is being brought to periods in general, which needs to be eradicated. I think I would like to think the education system has improved, but I remember my science lessons being taught about periods and the menstrual cycle in biology. But as you said, I think the emotional impacts of it are, again, it's very taboo. There's a stigma that's been generated, and I think that then just adds on to this criticism towards women, and enables this idea that, oh, well, they're emotional, they're on their period. But if you were taught from the start that actually there are many problems, whether it's just your period or conditions such as endometriosis, things like that, I think there would be a lot less stigma around periods and for young girls, even before they've started it. So I think it's an issue that definitely needs to be addressed. Thank you.
So, Honourable Members, this brings us to vote on the motion at item number four. So all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, no. The ayes have it, the motion's carried.
You're listening to a special sitting of Tynwald with students from the island secondary schools. Next, I spoke to students from University College Isle of Man.
Hi, I'm Saoirse Wade and I'm currently studying at UCM.
I'm Daniela Trabuco and I'm also studying UCM.
And we're here today on International Women's Day. What are you hoping to get out of the debates in Tynwald?
I'd like to see a really collective support for the women, because I think it's incredibly important that it's actually brought to light, because I know that a lot of it can be buried beneath different news reports. So it would be really great to see it out there and a lot more people actually aware of what goes on and what needs to be supported more.
And how have you prepared yourself for the debates that will be taking place shortly?
We search up a bit what's going on to have a better understanding and just talk to people that we know and who's going to come and talk to our teachers that what they're concerned and try to understand what's going on and maybe bring here today.
What's shocked you in terms of the research you've done so far?
Mostly the fact that a lot of it's actually really under-researched and not taken seriously enough. A lot of women, well, personally myself, and a lot of women out there deal with so many different things, and it's really just not taken seriously enough. And like, you look at the different percentages of different things, and it's shocking, absolutely shocking.
Why is are these issues not taken seriously, would you say?
Maybe they're not aware of it, maybe a lot of people are not confident enough to talk, or some of them just don't really know what's going on. That's what I believe is the issue, I think. Not a lot of people know what's going on, and not a lot of them know who to speak with, and yeah.
How does this make you feel when you do all this research and you think, well, this, you know, well, yeah, I was about to give you my thoughts, but what do you think? How do you feel?
It makes me quite angry, actually, because as a woman myself and having women around me, you know, it's quite difficult to see these different issues happening and taking place and then reading about them and seeing how bad they are and actually having not much done about it. So being here, I'm actually able to make a change and put things forward so that they are really taken seriously, because yeah, I feel quite a bit of anger.
And you'll be speaking in the Tynwald Chamber. You have various members of Tynwald you've been speaking to already. What do you hope they will take away from this?
I hope they will show to people what they heard from here and maybe help out to bring up and like show the world what's going on and maybe change it, hopefully change actually for better. And yeah.
And why do you imagine, because in this iteration of the House of Keys, we have more women than probably, as far as I'm aware anyway, they've ever been. Why are we still struggling to get these things taken seriously, do you think?
I don't know, maybe, honestly, I don't know, sorry.
That's okay, I don't know what is a fine answer, but, and in terms of political representation, I mean, do you think that you are well represented in the House of Keys? Maybe you've thought, actually, you know what, maybe I could do better myself, this election coming up shortly?
As I'm only just turning 18, I don't think I'd be in a position to stand. However, I have thought about that and I would love to raise points forward. And I think it's a very crucial thing to have women in the House, because I think it's important that these issues are raised and are continuously raised, because these are issues that are incredibly important to all of the women on the island. More than 50% of the women, there's more than 50% of the population on the island is women. And so I think it needs to be represented. And it's nice to see that there is lots of women in the House to be able to represent these women.
Well, thank you both for agreeing to talk to Manx Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us too.
That was Socha Wade and Daniela Trabuco from University College Isle of Man. Daniela moved their debate.
Now we need to item 5 on our order paper, period poverty, and I call on the Honourable Member from Douglas Central, Ms Trabuco.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm here to bring this topic as, like, the cost of the period product is being quite expensive for a lot of people, and not everyone here can afford it, so that could lead to missing work or missing school, as they can't provide it. I think that also we should have this project in school, not only in college or work, but also high school or primary school if people start really early. And also I'd like to bring up the fact that some schools are closing bathrooms during lessons because most students are vaping or doing stuff that they should not be doing in bathroom, and that caused everyone to not go. If we want to go to change our pads or whatever, we can't, as we can't find bathrooms being closed or not being able to find any. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you. I now call on the Honourable Member for Douglas Central, Miss Wade.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to further put forward Danny's motion, as I believe that missing work and school due to period poverty is becoming more, well, increased, because people feel as though that they are not able to, have wear products and things like that during their times, because they feel that they don't have the amount of money to buy things. The cost is just too high to buy certain products, which can lead to people leaving them in longer than they are recommended, which can lead to a multitude of health problems. This can, like I previously said, that missing school and work, that can lead to a strengthened already unfair inequality with people who in work and school may believe that it's just women being women and are in pain, so they're just being dramatic about it, when in actuality that's not the case at all. There can be many different reasons why women are not going to school and work, and period poverty is a large part of that, I believe. And also to add to that, removing the financial barrier can also can also lead to more productive people in work, because they're not worrying if they have to find period products to be able to make them last, when in schools and work should be providing them, and that they should be free, because it's something that we all have to go through and we all have to use. And why are we paying for things that are already an issue that we've seen throughout the years? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Honourable Member for Onchan, Rushen, Ms Callow.
Thank you, Madam Deputy President. I completely agree with this motion, and I think it's a very important issue that needs to be addressed. I wanted to bring up that recently 20 MHKs here voted in favour of Honourable Member for Douglas East, Joni Farragher's motion to secure the provision of free period products on the island to anyone who needs them. this helps, as you were saying, the economic barrier, as these are products that everyone deserves access to. You know, you wouldn't expect people not to be provided toilet paper when they went to the bathroom. So why aren't we provided period products for something we can't control? And also, I think with this provision of products can also help with, you know, the understanding and help avoid the stigma around periods, hopefully. Thank you.
Honourable Member for Council, Ms Maddox.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd also like to bring up pink tax, which is where women's products can cost more than men's razors purely because they're in pink packaging. And it's this loophole of women having to pay more for items because they're pink, and then having the pay gap between men and women, which causes them to earn less yet have to buy more because they have to buy period products. And a women's razor and a men's razor work exactly the same. One being in pink packaging, I think, is silly that it costs more. But sometimes this happens even with products that are centred towards women. They cost more than it would for men because they think putting it in nice pink packaging makes it more appealable to women. So thank you, Madam Chair.
On the Honourable Member for Garth, Ms Repetto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to say that not only is period product affordability an issue in our society, but particularly in third world societies, I think it's even harder to maintain a good level of hygiene, and that becomes even harder when you're experiencing something like PMS, which you have no control over. In certain places, condoms are free, but period products aren't. I don't understand why a male's anatomy should be catered to while a woman's isn't. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, on the Honourable Member for Ramsey, Ms Malunda.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. I just want to bring to people's attention that as of 2025, 21% of women and people who menstruate in the UK now struggle to access or afford products, which has increased from the 12% in 2022. 41% of those affected have kept pads and tampons in for longer than recommended, which can lead to serious health issues. And 8% have reused disposable pads. Although these figures are based on UK statistics, around 50% of the Isle of Man's population are women, and around just under a quarter of the population are at an age where they are experiencing regular periods. So I think that it's very important that this is addressed, especially on the Isle of Man as well, and it's not just looked at as something that happens across the world, but it's also happening here. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
I call on the Honourable Member for Douglas South, Ms Rabinska.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to speak about how period poverty can also widen the gender pay gap. The gender pay gap remains a major issue on Isle of Man. Recent data shows that women earn on average around 12% less than men, even though equal pay for equal work is a legal principle. The gap often reflects deeper issues such as fewer women in higher paid roles and the underrepresentation of women in leadership. We can see this in our own communities. Like at Balcomin High School, for example, the student body is roughly 50% female, yet our senior leadership team is made up of 5 women and only 1 woman. This highlights how leadership structures do not always reflect the communities they serve. So if we want to reduce the gender pay gap in the future, we must ensure that the girls and women see clear pathways to leadership across our island. Thank you.
Call on the Honourable Member for Douglas East, Ms Pearson.
One thing I would say is the accessibility of products. If that does become a normalised thing, you would need to introduce a variety of those products. You cannot narrow down this menstruation to one solution. So if you're providing only certain services or like products, you are essentially giving certain women an incentive not to use these services because they won't feel included in it, they won't feel considered. So if they were to roll out these methods of giving out these products, there would need to be a level of like insurance that more wide symptoms would be acknowledged, and products that do offer, like for example, more heavy flow, stuff like that needs to be brought into the conversation and being given knowledge, if that makes sense, sorry. I just think that if it does happen, it needs to be accessible and it needs to be inclusive to all. And there needs to be made sure that there isn't a stigma. So like if you're going there to get a large pad and then someone else is getting a small one, you need to be able to feel safe in this environment. Like you're not going to be judged because of what you require. I think that's a really important point to make sure that it's just a safe space and that no matter how you're feeling, what symptoms you are fighting, you can get help where it's provided. So thank you, Madam President.
Honourable Member for Erin Michael, Ms Barker.
Not only should period products be looked into at the expense of them, but also the chemicals and how they are manufactured, because researchers have shown that the chemicals in period products can cause more irregular flows or heavier flows that are damaging females' anatomy. And without research into these chemicals, more shock will happen to women, and a lot of women have been paralysed from the shock of period products. And without this research, then more damaging chemicals will affect women's anatomy. Thank you.
I'm the Honourable Member for Erin Michael, Ms Graham.
Madam Chair, while all of these points are very valid and very important, I would just like to point out that although it would be very important and necessary that the products that we would require for our periods are free, it is important to note that what would happen if we abused this, what would happen if we took more than we needed and then people who needed it didn't have enough? How can we ensure that this freedom, if you like, isn't abused, isn't taken advantage of? Thank you, Madam Chair.
The Honourable Member for Rushen, Ms Malunda.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just wanted to add on to some of the other points I'm in support of. So obviously with the cost of living crisis, poverty might not seem that far away for us. And I think generally it seemed as like a very significant issue that lots of people face. But when it comes to period poverty, I don't think it faces the same sort of importance. But also even when we do have access to period products, there are still feelings of discomfort and symptoms such as headaches and cramps, lack of focus that can affect women in the working environment. Although it does not inherently impact the gender pay gaps, it can also kind of your efficiency of work can also be questioned, and this is something that happens and affects people once or twice a month. And I think a lot of women are expected to just kind of get on with it, you know, and it's like, oh, it happens to everyone, you know, you can just kind of put it aside, you know, women can do anything men can do. But I think it could also reach a toxic level. And so as well as missing work or missing school, I think even being in an environment of work and school can be very overstimulating for many because of this. Thank you.
Call on the Honourable Member for Council, Ms Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would also like to just reconnect this to the taboo around periods for women. There's a shame, there's a kind of shame that you might find you feel going to the shop and picking up a pack of pads or a box of tampons and kind of trying to hide it as you go as fast as you can to the self-checkouts because you don't even want people to know you're buying them. I think it's really important that, one, we normalise these products, and two, that these products are supplied for free in public toilets so women don't have to feel that shame and that go through the inconvenience of buying them for themselves. Another point, which is a bit of a personal experience, one of the girls from school she wanted to organize period boxes in all of the school bathrooms, and she even offered to fund it herself. And I just want to ask, why have we let the problem gets so bad that young women are having to offer to fund other women's period products for something that no one can control? And why are these companies allowed to profit off of us, off of just our anatomy? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Honourable Member for Garth, Ms Gadsby.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to build on my Honourable Member's point on taboo. I think it all comes back to education. I know from my personal experience, when I've had to go get sanitary towels from the office, it's always hidden in a box. They kind of give it to you discreetly. It's kind of given like, quick, take it, you know.
many people, if you're in a class and you're going to get a pad, you shove it up your arm, so you're hiding it. It all comes down to education and breaking down these gender norms that periods are disgusting, periods are gross. It's what boys think. It all comes down to education. Teaching this in schools that it's not disgusting. It is just normal. It's just our body. It's how it works. We don't have to have this shame of walking around with pads. And it starts with schools not hiding these period products, not giving them out with shame, people not walking around with shame. It's all just about education. I think that's how we would address those issues with taboo. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Honourable Member for Council, Ms Maddox.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also agree with the point of education. Quite a personal experience. Whenever I ask my dad to go get sanitary towels for me, I often find he'd have to call me there because he had absolutely no idea what to get. And I think that is because people aren't taught about what women need, and there are so many different options, and because women aren't taught or men aren't taught in schools about what women need, it's for them it can be quite taboo, because some men don't feel comfortable doing it because they find it embarrassing, and I don't see why that should be. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Come to vote on the motion before us at item number 5. So all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
All those against, no. The ayes have it, the ayes have it. Now, that concludes our order paper. Now, I need to give a vote of thanks, but before I do, I just want to say, wow. Well done, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an honour to propose the vote of thanks as we mark this year's International Women's Day. In 1881, Tynwald became the first national parliament in the world to give women the vote in a general election. Yet, despite this early progress, women remained unrepresented for many years. Today's event is not only a celebration of International Women's Day, but a reminder of our commitment to strengthening women's voices in public life. To all the students attending and taking part today, my heartfelt thanks. Without your contributions, confidence, and willingness to engage, we would not be here marking such a meaningful event. Your voices and perspectives are invaluable, and it is your energy and leadership that will shape the Isle of Man in years to come. I'd like to express my sincere thanks to the teachers and the support staff who helped prepare the students and made their participation possible. Your dedication does far more than support today's event. It plays an essential role in empowering young women across our island and inspiring them with confidence, curiosity, and ambition. Thank you also to members for attending and for taking the time to speak with the students. Your presence today here helps demonstrate our collective commitment to supporting young women and future leaders. I would also like to extend sincere thanks to the President of Tynwald for the use of this chamber today, providing us with such a distinguished setting. Now, we were supposed to have a guest today, Mr. Stephen Twigg, from the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association, but unfortunately his plane didn't get in last night. So, but I would like to thank the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association for their ongoing support and the opportunities that they create for young people to continue to broaden horizons and encourage active engagement within parliamentary democracy. So before we close, I'd like to highlight one of those opportunities. Applications are now open for the 13th Commonwealth Youth Parliament in Sydney, Australia. I strongly encourage interested students to consider applying. It's a unique opportunity to connect with peers from across the Commonwealth and gain a first-hand experience of parliamentary process on the global stage. I can honestly say it was a genuine pleasure to host you all in Tynwald today, and I look forward to seeing where your talents take you next. Thank you, Honourable Members.
That was the final debate of the very powerful sitting of young women organised by Tynwald to mark International Women's Day. So, what do you think? Were you inspired and moved by these debates? Did you learn something new? There is still a lot of prejudice out there in the world, so well done to everyone who contributed to these debates. We'll hear the other three debates in perspective in 2 weeks' time. Let me know your thoughts on the programme by contacting Phil Gorn at manxradio.com and get in touch if you have any ideas for future shows. Don't forget, this programme is available as a podcast. I'm Phil Gorn. Gromaios yn geistachrom. Thanks for listening.